From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Quinny, you are number one. All of your reports are so much fun. Wrestling memoirs and the soaps, Facebook and some funny jokes. Quinny, you are number one. Quinny, you are number one. Put that guilt on your grandson.
Don't visit your grandmother, Brian.
If a match really blows, just give it a big fat minus O. Quinny, you are number one. Quinny, you are number one. Quinny, number one.
All right, we somehow made it on the air here. It's the Brian and Vinny and Granny and Craig Show, February 11, 2025. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. And no Sean here tonight. Where's he at, Vinny?
He's covering these elections in Washington State, yes.
Special elections in Washington State. I feel like we just had one of those.
Well, this is a special one.
Oh, the other one wasn't special? I got it. Yeah. All right. Well, he's not here tonight, but Granny is here. What's going on, Granny?
Same as everything.
What's that mean?
Every week, everything's the same.
Well, is everybody allowed out, or are you still in lockdown?
They think it might be Thursday, but they can't say because anybody could come down with it any time.
There was a flu outbreak. I don't even know if it was an outbreak. Somebody had the flu and they shut everything down?
I think it's the law.
It's the law, huh? Have you been locked in for how long now?
Oh, I don't really care. I love it.
Granny likes not having to go out and...
They send over the menus, and I fill out what I want. And for two or three days in a row, and they bring it, and then they have a cart with a whole bunch of stuff on it. I can take my pick.
And it sounds like heaven.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. So the other day, we went over there and Granny had ordered chicken strips and fries. And there's a knock on the door. And I open the door. And like I said, everybody that works there is under 25. They're these young college kids or maybe even high school for all I know. There's girls out there with the tray or whatever of food. And, you know, she brings the chicken strips, and I'm like, thank you, and I take the chicken strips, and I'm shutting the door, and Granny goes, wait! She starts yelling at this girl, hold on a second! Do you have any ice cream? And anyway, there's ice cream on the thing that the lady gave me. I said, Granny, don't worry about it. I got the ice cream. She goes, do you have any ice cream? She's yelling at this poor lady.
Oh, and, come on, Brian, knock it off.
How many ice creams did you get from this lady by the time we were all done?
Three?
Yeah, just one ice cream after another. Banana! Got a banana, too. They don't charge you for all that?
No.
You got free ice cream and bananas?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that poor lady.
And I didn't holler at her.
Oh, Granny, stop. I was right there. Come on.
Oh, come on.
You yelled out that door like you were yelling across the street for that ice cream. Anyway, what else do we got today? What's on the Facebook, Vinny?
There's a story here in all caps, or a question here in all caps.
I can't wait to hear what Granny wrote today.
I bet there's a fascinating backstory to this one.
I am, too.
Granny wrote,
yeah.
Have you ever triumphantly won something for your child and felt good about it?
Oh, that's a wonderful idea for today.
Is there
Hiroki Goto just won that IWGP title for his son and his father. A triumphant win after all of these years of epic failures. I thought maybe we could all tell a story of winning something for a youngster, right?
I don't have kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, someone like a nephew.
Have won something for them?
Have you ever won anything? I'll give you a good example.
All right.
So I went down to Cannon Beach. This actually is a cautionary tale, okay? So there's a new little arcade in Seaside on the way to Cannon Beach. And it's funny because no one works there. You go in and they have that machine and you put the money in and it gives you a card and then you can tap your card on all the machines. But I've never seen anyone work there. So, like, if something goes wrong, I don't even know what you do. If you get locked in or whatever, or, you know, some machine falls on you. I've never seen a human being working there. But anyway, they got all these games. They got, like, video games. They got air hockey. And then they got some of those claw machines. And so, you know, one day we had, like, a couple of, you know, like, $2 left on the card or whatever. And the kids are like, hey, can we play the claw machine? Can we play the claw machine? And I said, you kids don't get it. This is a carny gimmick. The game never lets you win. You're going to put money in. You're going to come close. You're going to put more money in. You're never going to win. And if you finally win, you'll have spent like $30 to win something that probably costs about 30 cents. They go, come on, we got the $2 left. Let's just play once. So I hit the thing with the card. I move the claw thing. And the claw thing goes down. I swear to God, the claw picked up like 9 toys somehow. Not just like one. It just picked up this whole giant thing. And they're like screaming, ah! And it brings it over and it drops them into the thing. And it's just a freaking payload of stuff out of this claw machine. So anyway, they were like really happy and everything. But now, of course, you know what happens. Now they want to play the claw machine everywhere.
Oh.
And they don't believe, like I told them once, you'll never ever win. And so the amount of money I've drowned in claw machines ever since that point, I could have bought them a porpoise or something.
You've created a pair of gambling addicts.
Yes, excellent. Exactly. Because of that game. That game saw me coming. I was like, I'm going to give this guy 9 toys this time, and then I'm going to get him every time afterwards. So anyway, be careful with those games, everyone. That's my story. Nobody else?
Closest I can come is my niece was the first niece of her generation. My first niece, she was probably 4. We were at a family gathering, and I wasn't doing anything. She says, "Can I have some ice cream?" Or she said, "Can we go get ice cream?"
Mm.
I said, "Of course." Threw in the car, drove out to get some ice cream. We had ice cream, had a great time together. As she buckled up to drive back home, she says, "Can we stop and get candy?" Of course. Absolutely, because I'm an uncle.
Oh, God.
The story, and the moral of the story is she loves me.
How much sugar did you give this kid?
Oh, it was just that one time.
Yeah, you know who hates you is the sister, whoever it was.
Yeah.
Brought this kid home.
All sugared up?
All sugared up and wild.
Yeah, but not my problem.
Well, that's...
The kid loves me is all that matters.
That's true.
30 years later, the kid loves me.
Mm. I was hoping you were to say that you brought your niece to when you won the Shoot Battle Royal.
No.
Craig, nothing?
Actually, when I was dating my wife, not everybody knows, but Danielle's actually my adopted daughter, and she's very standoffish with me. And
at the time or now?
I've met you. I can't blame her.
Wow. Golly.
It's her birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday, Danielle.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Anyway, very standoffish at the time because she just had a... deadbeat dad that left her life, so she's very, you know, cautionary about men. So we actually took a trip back east to see Michelle's family in Indiana, and we went to the Indiana State Fair, and was playing one of those carnival games, and ended up throwing darts or whatever, and anyway, I won her a little pink stuffed bear.
Aw.
And gave it to her. And I ended up being the winner in this because that little stuffed bear gave me an opening to win that little girl's heart.
Aw. That's an excellent story, Craig.
A very nice tale.
You're a good dad.
Granny, did you ever win anything for any of your children?
No. I wish I could remember something about you, but I can't.
Didn't happen. Let's read some of these, Vinny.
All right. Michelle won. I won a video game for my husband in a contest once. Does that count?
Sure. If he's your child.
Well, men can be child sometimes.
It's true.
Name one.
Me.
I was going to say, everyone in this room.
Carmine Leveri, a top fan. Sometimes when my son is struggling with a particularly challenging part of a video game, he'll give me the controller and ask me to help. When/if I succeed, he celebrates as if it's his own achievement. This process never fails to bring me terrific joy.
I'll bet. My kids would not even let me come near some video game they're trying to win.
Carmine, that's a lovely story. I hope your son's a happy fourth birthday.
God. How many times I've tried to help them with something they want no help whatsoever?
Yeah. The age for you better than your kids in video games is young.
And it's usually something like putting on their pants. So like they've got both legs in one pant leg and like I'm trying to, and they don't want any help. They just want to try to, you know what I'm saying? Golly. All right. What's next?
Jacob Walton. Does coaching my high school girls track and field team to their first ever state championship in our school's history count? If so, then yes.
If you have 12 children that all made a team, of course that counts.
A state champion long jumper and javelin thrower.
Wow. How about that? Good job, Coach Walton. He's a prediction show winner.
Oh, how about that? Did he predict winning a state championship? That would be impressive. If he came on your show, his high school team would win the state championship and did it.
That wouldn't be that impressive because...
That'd be very impressive.
I mean, at some point his team's going to win.
A state championship?
Sure.
Most people don't.
If he would have said a world championship, now we're talking.
Yeah, Babe Ruth used to call his shots, so, you know.
Yeah, and people remember it 100 and some years later.
That's fine. That's very true.
All right, what's next?
Joe Del Buso. I won my fantasy football championship 2 years in a row. I used the money to feed my children.
Mm. He won what?
The fantasy football championship. I hope that's not his only source of income to feed the children.
I was going
to
say, what was a pot? The way he phrased that is like he's been feeding the children for years off that fantasy football win.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it was $100,000. I don't know.
It's about what it costs to feed them nowadays.
Daniel Morrissey's very upset. This question alienates people who don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have kids, and I don't really care. So. Granny's biggest fan. Children are the absolute worst. Parents are almost as insufferable.
Wow.
This thing got dark.
It sure did. Jiminy Christmas.
Should I tell my story again?
Children are not terrible. Evans.
Well, not yours. There's some. David Daniel Evans.
By the way, if you go to my Instagram, I have... a series of 20 photographs of Hanalei eating. I didn't even mean to do it, but I was like looking through my pictures and had a funny picture of her eating.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I scrolled a little further back and then there was another funny picture of her eating. And I was like, how many funny pictures of her eating do I have? And literally I got to 20 and I still had more, but that's as many as Instagram allowed. Nobody enjoys eating as much as Hanalei. And that includes myself.
I think it's actually true. I've seen the pictures.
Yes. Oh my God.
I don't think I enjoy anything as much as she enjoys.
I don't either. Well, that's a Valentine's Day. Find someone who loves you the way Hanalei loves eating, and you will have a happy Valentine's Day.
All right. I'm going to read the next five, the first part of the next five in a row. Then we'll go back and read some of these. First one says, I don't have kids. Next one says, I don't have kids. Next one says, I don't have any. Next one says, nobody can afford a child anymore. Next one says, I don't have children.
Wow.
I think you've underestimated so many sad, lonely people listening to your show.
I don't know if they're sad and lonely, but childless for sure.
David Daniel Evans, I don't have kids, but whenever I do something nice for my cat or my nephew, I get the warm fuzzies inside.
Mm. Yeah. Something nice for that cat.
Corey Smith, I don't have kids, but I will always remember my dad winning me a Power Rangers Megazord from a local TV contest when I was a kid. That's a good dad right there.
Wow.
They were very hard to find in 93, 94.
I like the idea of doing something nice for your cat. Like, yeah. I get it if you got, like, a dog, because dogs are very appreciative. Cats don't appreciate anything.
You've never seen my cat get a treat.
Golly.
I take back what I said about Hanalei being the happiest thing
I think ever. That cat's working you.
No. How about this? Chad McLaughlin, I don't have any, but I love winning stuff in the claw machine at Walmart for my nephew.
Really? Wow.
Maybe the claw machine industry is getting a lot easier.
I will say this, okay? There's two types.
I can't leave without playing it, he says.
There's two types of claw machines. There's the claw machine that you play and then you have to keep putting money in. And then there's the one that's win every time where they put in like, you know, a duck from China that costs like a cent. And then, you know, you keep trying until you win one of the ducks. So every now and then we can find one of the, you know, win no matter what. That works out great. But if you can't find those, it's trouble.
I actually knew a guy that could work those claw machines. Like, he could win something every time. It's pretty impressive.
You sure it wasn't the win every time kind?
Nope. These were giant stuffed animals, not pieces of penny candy.
Hmm. Keenan Funk says, nobody can afford a child anymore. The world is in shambles.
What a depressing answer. You know you don't have to answer.
You could have kept that to
yourself. This is supposed to be like a fun little segment here with a 95-year-old lady.
Yeah. Although she'd agree with him. The world is in shambles.
Well, that is true.
Steve and Sebastian, I don't have children, but I love the Granny Show. That's nice.
It is nice. Yeah.
Tim Page, my best gift to my children is not having any yet until I'm ready. I'm on the Brian trajectory age-wise.
Mm. Worked out all right.
Matt Kale. At Comic-Con in San Diego many years ago, my son was 17. I won him a voice section with the voice cast of Gundam Wing.
What?
Between Gundam Wing and the Megazord, we're having a high, high nerd factor on this show.
That's about the usual.
Andrew Windolf. Nope. Thanks for asking.
Okay. All right. Well, Granny, what do you got today? Granny's actually got an announcement regarding the soaps.
Mm. Oh, well, if they like it that much, I guess I'll keep doing it. Anyway, it's all...
You're going to guilt them before he even told us what was going on here?
It's all different now. They're all new storylines.
Okay, hold on a second. Granny told me this weekend she was no longer going to do the soap opera report because it made the shows no fun and she didn't enjoy it anymore. And then apparently sometime in the last 48 hours, she's changed her mind.
Well, I haven't really changed my mind, but it's like you guys, you get used to Sharon and all those. Then I come up with Kyle and Claire that Victor's trying to break up because Kyle is Jack's son, and that's an Abbott, so he doesn't want those together. And then he wants his son to get back with his ex-wife, and so... That's just the way it goes. And then Phyllis is going to get into a business with Billy and her son. And Sharon's got free of everything that ever happened to her. I don't really like her at all. So. But anyway, the guy that writes it on the board, go look, read that. He's good.
Okay. We do have somebody who translates Granny's soap opera report on the board, and he does a fine job. I still don't have any idea what's going on, but...
Yeah, see, that's what I mean.
But people like your reports, Granny, because some people do know what's going on, and so, you know, when you tell them what's happening, they like hearing your thoughts on it.
But then the rest of them are all bored.
Okay.
How about you, Craig and Vinny?
That's great.
Would you rather
Does Vinny look bored to you?
Yeah.
I tried.
No, you didn't, actually.
I did try. I smiled. Mm. Anytime I'm smiling, you know I'm trying. Granny, the show, the segment is not for me. It's whatever you want to do and makes you happy. That's all that matters.
Yeah, this isn't our segment.
It's not even for the listeners. It's just for you.
It is pretty much literally for you. You just do whatever you want.
I will say this. I'm not a fan of soap operas. I've never watched one in my life. I don't plan to ever watch one. But I enjoy listening to you explain them.
Sure. We like hearing about Victor. Mm.
Okay.
Victor's baby face turned.
I'll try a little bit harder.
Okay.
If you want to.
Why?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, we didn't say you had to try.
Now I feel guilty.
I'm going to have trouble with my wrestling report because my lighting is not very good here.
Just got a flashlight.
Okay. Here we go. I used my flashlight. Is that okay? I finally...
No! You must do the show in the dark.
Yeah, can you turn more lights off?
I actually watched Cody versus Kevin.
Oh.
From the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Okay.
All the ladder match.
Mm.
Okay. No refs in this one. And two championship belts. And it's a ladder match. As usual, it starts with pushing and punching and all this
stuff. Hey, did you like one of those belts more than the other, Granny, by chance?
Oh, gosh.
Are you kidding? Mm. I don't know one different from the other.
All right. Just checking.
One did look a little bit bigger, though, or had more designs on it.
Yes, that's the Winged Eagle. That's the old belt.
Your shirt's bigger?
The 90s. Well, it has more design. It's not bigger.
Is that Cody's?
No, that's no one really had that one. It's a long story, Granny.
Oh, didn't belong to Kevin.
Well, one day they had a special show, and they brought that belt out for one day. But the one day they brought it out, Kevin stole it. And then Cody got his normal belt back, and Kevin was running around with the other belt. But no, Kevin doesn't actually have a belt. He stole it.
Granny, Brian's just trying to find somebody to agree
with him. He's a thief.
So.
Okay. Now I lost where I was at.
I think Vinny agrees the Winged Eagle is the nicest belt there's ever been.
Brian, I do too, but I don't like beating a dead horse.
Well, that's what this show is all about now, isn't it?
The alternative is coming up with something new to say, and that's out of the question.
What are we going
to
talk about other than that? Okay. Let's talk about the best strap colors in belt history, everyone. Black? Okay. Go ahead, Granny.
I did like Cody's white IC belt. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that
remember nice. Ultimate Warrior had baby blue?
Yeah, they're not all winners.
Yeah.
I think they had lime green at one point, too.
Can you guys do this after?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
I lose my space and everything.
Okay, we'll shut up. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, so first ladder outside a ring. Kevin gives Cody a slam and throws him on the ladder. Let's see. Throws Cody against the barricade and are in the crowd going down the aisles, still fighting. Everybody's just standing there watching them. And chin kicks and midriff kicks and more ladders and Kevin is being brutal. Another ladder. And then they had a little ladder that they took out, beat each other up with.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. And so Kevin takes a ladder and puts it between the mat and the announcer's table. And Cody got a little bit upset, so he just goes and he takes Kevin and throws him on the ladder. So Kevin's face is all bloody. And so he gets up there and gets up on the ladder and gets the tuba belts for the win.
I like the tuba.
I like that. It might be a tuba above the ring, yeah.
That's one I need to see, a tuba above the ring match.
I gave that an 8. Now you can talk about
it.
Tuba on a pole.
You gave that an 8, huh, Granny? What do you think of that, Kevin Owens?
Well, I was rooting for him to begin with. But then when he got so brutal, I got to feel sorry for Cody. So after that, I was all for Cody.
I see. So you weren't a Cody fan going in.
Well, I don't think he should be the champ because he's too nice.
He's too nice to be the champ.
Yeah. You should have somebody rough.
Someone rough and tumble.
Rough
like
and
Moxley.
I miss old, what's his name, that drinks all the beer.
Steve Austin?
No. Yeah, I miss him. He was great.
That was 25 years ago.
I know.
Okay. All right. What about old Dean Ambrose?
I miss him, too, except I didn't like him after he changed his name.
I don't like John Moxley.
He also stopped drinking beer.
Yeah. And Nikki, I haven't heard from her for a long time. And I never cared too much for Bailey.
Oh, you're talking about Nikki Cross?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nikki Cross. I haven't seen her. And how about, what's your name?
I don't know. Charlotte.
Hello?
Yeah, oh, wow. Charlotte.
She just came back.
Is she back now?
Yeah, she just came back.
Which one is she on?
She was literally on the show that you watched.
She was on all four shows last week.
Yeah, she's
been at
the
Rumble, and then on Raw, and then on NXT, and then on SmackDown.
Yeah, hard to miss her.
Oh.
I like how you said the word midriff.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's just,
that I know how to say it?
Just as an unusual word you don't hear a lot nowadays. Hmm. All right, what else do we got?
Oh, guess what? I got some trivia.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of dumb. And funny. And guess where I got
it? Pay attention, Vinny. It's trivia time.
I'm on the ball.
Guess where I got it?
They sent it up.
Laffy Taffy.
Yep, Internet. They sent it up.
I thought she said yes to Laffy Taffy.
And they sent up a menu and also trivia.
Huh.
We've got to keep our brains young.
They sent something up for the football game that was so bad. I heard that
You mean
was,
the Super Bowl?
I heard that was the worst game that ever was.
It was not terribly dramatic. It was not a... strong finish. It was
actually one point when I looked up, I thought it was like 20-0 or something.
It was 24 nothing, I think, at halftime.
So they managed to get like 20 points in the second half.
The Chiefs added a lot of garbage type points. That's true. Yes.
Garbage type points.
It's called. Garbage
did
time.
Not reflect what yes. really happened.
What happened?
Was not as close as the final score would indicate. That is true. Yes. I don't know, Granny, other than the Chiefs showed up and played the worst game they've played in like five years or
they
more.
Imploded.
Yeah. Everywhere. Everyone. The whole team.
Okay. Here's one question. How can you make 7 even?
I don't know, Granny.
By adding a T.
Nope.
Paying him back.
Taking away an S.
You're right.
There you go.
You're right.
So close, Brian.
I thought even Steven had a T.
I see.
Because Steven is even.
You can feel me, but you can't see me. I am always with you.
Edge.
But
John
I
Cena.
Never get heavy. These aren't wrestling ones.
Oh, sorry.
Start over again.
You can feel me, but you can't see me. I am always with you, but never get heavy. You shiver when I come and are relieved when I pass. What am I?
Cold.
It's Nicki Minaj lyrics.
So many jokes.
Your fears.
Oh.
That's deep.
See, I told you some of these were weird.
They're sending these to old people?
Here's something to enjoy in your twilight years.
God. These are depressing.
Paul and Sue have 5 girls each. One has a brother. How many kids do they have together? All together.
Paul and Sue have 5 girls each. And one of the girls has a brother?
Each one has a brother. There's 5 girls, and each one has a brother.
Each girl has a brother.
And they have 5 each.
There's 6 kids, because Paul and Sue are married. Mm-hmm. They have 5 girls.
We don't know that.
And the girls have 1 brother. I'm saying 6. That's my final answer.
11.
You said, what, 5 sisters?
You said 5 sisters. I said 6 kids.
I said 11 kids.
It's all it says is 5 sisters and 11 brothers.
So Vinny and I were right. Good job, Vinny. We did it together.
Uh-huh. If a father frog goes yip it, yip it, and a mother frog goes yip it, how does a baby frog croak?
When it dies?
When it gets eaten.
No, because it's a tadpole.
What?
I am not moving into this place.
When you're driving a car...
How many are there?
Keep going. Where's Sean? We need him.
When you're driving a car, what is the one thing you are guaranteed to lose when you turn, when you're turning?
Guaranteed to lose when you're turning?
Yeah.
I mean, speed, unless you're a Tron light cycle.
Hey, that's right.
Okay. It actually says speed unless you're a Tron light cycle.
These are not trivia questions. These are riddles.
Well, whatever.
That's true. That's a good point.
I got the other book if you want me to go back in that.
I think we're doing just fine wrapping this one up here. Go ahead.
Okay. What do you get when you toss a copper and a quarter into the blue sea?
What do you get when you toss a copper?
A penny.
And a quarter into the blue sea?
Yeah. 26 cents.
Well, no, you don't get anything. You just throw them all away.
Yeah.
I don't get this.
26 wishes?
I wrote the answer wrong. I don't know what it says.
You wrote the answer down?
Oh, boy. I've got the answer right by him.
Wait a minute. The answer is not on the paper?
Googling this.
Just a minute. It is on the paper, but it's on a different page. Let's see. what I want. Number six. Less money.
Thank you. I got it right.
Okay. You did it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. These aren't as bad as I thought.
The balloons.
They're not as bad as you thought? What were you expecting?
Terrible. A girl who was just...
It has come up on riddles.com.
Uh-oh.
A girl who was just learning how to drive went down a one-way street in the wrong direction. But didn't break the law. How come?
So you're driving the car backwards.
She's in Great Britain.
No, because she was walking.
Oh, boy. That's actually a good one. I'm fine with that one. I ain't bad.
Ready for more?
Truthfully, no.
Okay, here we go.
We can end on a high note.
Oh, my God. That's a lot on that side.
It's a pretty thick book, too. You start at home. You leave, make three left turns, and you are back home. What?
Baseball.
What and?
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
But what about a baseball?
Home run.
She got you there, Brian.
Yeah, so it's a home run. You're playing a baseball
yep.
game.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's a home run. Every night I am told what to do, and every morning I do what you tell me to do, but you still get mad at me.
Alarm
and
clock.
Hit me.
It sounds like me.
You hit the alarm clock.
Yeah.
Golly.
That's right. That's right.
I can relate to that. Yeah.
Suppose you are driving a bus. Three people get on, the two people get off. What color is the driver's eye?
Hazel.
What color is the driver's eye?
Yeah.
They're hazel.
It says, your eye color. Whatever that's supposed to be.
It says, you're driving a bus. What's the color?
I see.
What has four eyes but can't see?
Four eyes that can't see, Mississippi.
American Gothic.
Mississippi. How do you guys get these? Okay, with three eyes and as black as night.
This is the last one, right?
I frequently knock down 10 men.
Bowling ball.
Bowling ball.
Right.
Vinny was so excited to wrap this up till he got one.
No, good.
The pins are white.
What has a heart but no other organ?
A heart but no other organ? What has a heart but no other organ?
A Valentine's card.
I don't know, man.
Deck of cards.
Oh. A spade isn't an organ?
No.
You can have me almost every night.
Really?
Sometimes I could be mad.
Easy.
Sometimes I could be good. But what, whether you were a child or an adult.
Is there a question here?
Yeah. I feel like this is coast to coast.
I'll be there. What am I?
I don't know.
Bed.
A dream. That was the last one.
Okay. I was hoping the answer would be a nightmare. Okay. Well, Granny, that was exciting.
I'll say.
Thank you for providing.
Little different.
It definitely was a little bit different. Definitely was.
You want me to do any more next time? Or
maybe sure.
Them up?
Do it next time so Sean can try and answer some. Wait, they send them up every week?
I'll mix them up with the regular.
Why did you for that?
How about that?
I'm just astonished. I can't say I was excited. They really send up riddles every week, though, Granny?
No, there's a whole book here.
I thought you said they sent it up from downstairs.
I know, but there's quite a bit of them here.
But you had, like, papers. That was what you were reading from.
It's thick.
Okay, all right.
See?
Anyway. Okay, well, that was fun.
Sure.
I'm ready to go tonight I'm having chicken and some potatoes and greens.
Is this a riddle?
And so I after
what
I,
am I?
I'm gonna have my dinner after I get off of here.
Okay, go late, watch NXT while you're at it.
Dinner. It's 8:40.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
NXT.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I
forgot what channel.
Okay, go check it out.
She forgot what channel.
Oh, 58 or something. I don't know what's on your cable.
112 or
something. We wrote it down. It's on a piece of paper there.
Okay.
Okay, I'll see you later, Granny.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, Granny. Bye.
See you later. I made this a free show this week. You aware of that?
Wow.
I mean,
if you listen to that segment and you thought, by God, I need to sign up, have I got a place for you? I'll do the quick plug. WrestlingObserver.com. If you want the podcasts. If you want every... You realize she started doing this in 2005? Granny's been on this show since 2005. She was 75 years old in 2005. Mm. And she started doing this show, and we thought, my God, can you imagine doing this show when you're like 75 years old? You think she'll still be doing this show when she's 85, we thought? Well, here she is, 95! Still doing the show. So you can go back and listen to every Brian and Vinny show, every Observer Radio. The main website has all of the shows, new shows every day, 84 new shows a month. Granny's older than the number of new shows we have every month. And observers and archives and the board and all that good stuff. That is WrestlingObserver.com. And then if you only want the podcasts, if you just heard this and you thought, my God, I can't live without this kind of content, you can go to Apple Music or Spotify, and those are both just $9.99 a month. F4WOnline.com/Apple, F4WOnline.com/Spotify. I had a graphic here. Where is it, Jared? Put that graphic up. There you go. You were supposed to be able to see me, but it doesn't matter. So anyway, Spotify or Apple Podcast, you can see them up there, except they disappeared again. And also, you can... I liked it better the other way. Now they can't even... There we go. And if you want to watch the show, just like you're doing right now, f4wonline.com/YouTube. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all $9.99 per month. Or you can get the whole shebang for $14.99 a month. Is that exciting? But you know what? The show isn't over yet, everyone. Now we have to review... There we go. Now we have to review maybe the best show of the week, Mid-South Wrestling.
All right, then.
Thank you, Randy. They were tremendous production values. I came up with the idea at the last second, so don't blame anybody but me.
We watched Mid-South Wrestling, Season 6, Episode 12, March 24th, 1984. Boyd Pierce and Jim Ross opened the show, but there's a negative tone in the air right away.
Mm.
I say, folks, today we got Terry Taylor versus Butch Reed in the TV tournament semifinal, but something happened just before he went on the air. Bill Watts was supposed to be here, but Jim wants to tell him what happened. Boyd can't even speak on it. Jim Ross repeats, folks, we do have Terry Taylor versus Butch Reed. Do you want to stay tuned for that? We'll see who faces Crush or Khrushchev in the finals, but just before he came in the air, Bill Watts was doing an interview with Terry Taylor. I thought, that doesn't sound that bad. He's a nice guy. So Bill's interviewing Terry. They play his hype video again, the same one. And finally, the actual interview starts, and Terry just says, I got to face Butch Reed. I'm really nervous, but I'm lucky to be here. And that's it. I'm like, what the hell? Why? Why even show that at all, let alone what was tragic about it?
You're soon going to find out, brother.
So there's more. Jim Ross explains, next, Bill Watts was interviewing Butch Reed, and they did several times say something tragic occurred. So Watts is interviewing Butch, and we get a Butch Reed video set to a very generic knockoff of Another One Bites the Dust. This is a classic 1980s pro wrestling video. He's lifting lots of weights. He's doing tackles and slams. He's putting on his sunglasses. And every once in a while, for no particular reason, they will turn the tint knob on the VCR, and the mat turns green for no reason.
Well, it's because they could do it.
Yep.
You got to use whatever graphics are at your disposal.
That's right. So we come back to talk to Butch, and Butch is ranting about $10,000. That makes my blood just flow. He's happy about all this. Jim Cornette interrupts. He's like next to the camera. They get to a wide shot so you can see him. Watts is furious. Butch Reed's annoyed. He doesn't want his promo time taken away by this ranting lunatic. They try to conduct the business, but this is a distraction, of course, and the Midnight Express attacks Bill Watts from behind. Butch throws up his hands, walks away. Not his fight, not his problem. And they're beating Bill Watts, and Bill Watts is selling this like literal death. They're hitting him with the lightest kicks and stomps you ever saw, and he's not moving, may not have been breathing.
He's actually selling it like a guy who'd never done an angle ever before, mm-hmm. which is quite ironic. He laid there like a dead body, and they're stomping on him, and I mean, he did end up gigging, and he's bleeding all over the place. But I cannot say I was impressed by the selling of Bill Watts during this angle, but it was a... that's a pretty heavy angle, dude. They killed Bill Watts.
It's funny, on this show, you remember it was in 84, and so things were different then. And it was a family show for the most part. So when they show blood, they don't focus on it. They don't zoom in on it. You know it's there, but they're back far enough so it's not gruesome so the kids can watch it.
I guess. I mean, I saw plenty of stuff that was pretty freaking disgusting for those kids. And not only did he bleed, if that wasn't traumatic enough for the youngsters, but later they explained he was dragged out of the building completely unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this was like 20 minutes later. He was still unconscious from this beating.
Yeah.
I was like, is there a medical staff? If you get beaten down and you're still unconscious 20 minutes later, that's usually a pretty bad thing.
Yeah, you don't have an easy road home from that. Here, at this point in the show, they say he was severely lacerated by three people.
He was.
Hitting him with some kind of weapon. But we got a great lineup of matches. And the show goes on, and the opener, I swear to God, is Obi Davis and Josh Stroud versus the Midnight Express.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, this is completely ridiculous. They're just letting these guys wrestle like nothing happened, when they just killed the commissioner, wherever the hell he is. And I thought about it a little bit. I said, well, I guess if they took out Bill Watts, who else is going to stop him?
Well, exactly. Yeah. You know who's going to stop him? Boyd Pierce. And he wasn't going to stop him. Although I was a big fan of Boyd Pierce on this show because...
Yeah, I saw a different side of Boyd this week.
He laid down the law on Jim Cornette later. But yes, they destroyed Bill Watts, and then they're just like all over the show. And so, yeah, at first you're like, this doesn't make any fucking sense here. But then, yes, it's true. Well, the guy in charge, he got carted off. There's nobody to make decisions. The show has to go on. They can't just not air their television show. And so, like, the Midnights are out there wrestling, and then Jim Cornette takes out commentary, and, like, he's just being so obnoxious. And I've talked about before, I love Boyd Pierce. I mean, I love this guy. It's not like he's a great announcer, but he's the greatest Boyd Pierce. He's there with a smile at the beginning of every show. He's welcoming us, viewers. He's so thankful we're watching the show. He's like always supporting the baby faces. He's disgusted with the heels. He always has a nice wrap up and he wishes us a great week. I love Boyd Pierce. He's just like the friendliest, your friendly neighborhood grandpa. But he is being abused verbally by Jim Cornette. And the longer Cornette goes, the more you feel sympathy for Boyd Pierce, and the more you just want somebody to, like, get one over on Jim Cornette. And as we'll get to, Boyd finally pulled the trump card on this guy. But yes, Midnight Express came out, and they just wrestled after killing Bill.
And they were going to win quickly. They botched the Gravedigger, decided let's not end the match that way. Bobby added a top rope elbow, and they won.
Wow, that top rope elbow. Is there anything Bobby Eaton can do that doesn't look spectacular?
It's pretty great.
And actually, they didn't botch the Gravedigger. It took forever to get the guy up because this jobber decided to go stiff as a board.
Yes.
And so the move starts, you know, Condry's sitting on the top rope, and the other guy has to, like, pick him up and then put him up in Condry's arms for a power slam off the middle rope. But man, this guy is stiff as a board. And, like, they can't move this guy, and he's not folding, and he's not helping them at all. So it's like two human beings trying to move literally like a dead body. It's like he's in rigor mortis. And they finally, and once they got him up there, like Contra hit the move just fine. But, you know, I think it wasn't so much that it looked bad. It's just, no, we're going to do another move. And they did another move and they pinned him.
The next match is Mr. Wrestling 2 versus Lanny Poffo. Jim Cornette is still on commentary.
I should note, by the way, going back to that first match, Jim Cornette grabbed the microphone away from Jim Ross as Jim Ross is doing the ring introductions because he is going to introduce his team, the Midnight Express. And Jim Ross does not step out of frame. Jim Ross makes sure he's in frame. And he is staring a hole through Jim Cornette. He hates this guy. And he's pacing back and forth. And he's making sure everybody at home can see how much he hates this guy who has just destroyed Bill Watts and taken his mic. And then he calmly asks for the mic back and exits the ring.
So still Boyd and Cornette on commentary for Mr. Wrestling 2 versus Lanny Poffo. Boyd is frantically trying to call the match, wishes Jim Cornette would do the same. Cornette's just ignoring him, airing whatever grievances are on his mind. Boyd is so gotten to, he can't even speak, and Cornette mocks him for that. In the ring, I don't know if I ever noticed this before, what giant white trunks Mr. Wrestling 2 has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up to his nipples. And they're doing this match. It's kind of ugly, like a hockey fight. And they point out, one of them mentions the referee is Pee-wee Anderson. The same guy who was in the ring at Bash of the Beast 96 when the NWO was formed. He was in the ring when Lex Luger beat Hulk Hogan for the World Championship. Of course, he sadly died in 2002 of testicular cancer. Very sad news. But got a kick out of seeing old Pee-wee here in 1984 Mid-South.
Yes.
Anyway, two is beating him and beating him. Poffo, not a Pee-wee. And I keep waiting for Poffo's comeback, and then Mr. Dude just hits the knee lift and wins. I mean, he is the North American champion.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. And I was thinking about this because I was ranting last week about that Takeshita tag on Dynamite. And you got Mr. Wrestling 2 here, and he is setting up for a big feud with Magnum, okay? And he's in the ring with a guy who loses matches, but he's not a job guy. Like, we've seen competitive matches with Lanny Poffo. And the way they work the match is, like, the first 25% of it was, like, totally back and forth. They're grappling, they're doing reversals, the whole nine yards. But then we learn that Mr. Wrestling 2 is the better man. And he roundly beats this youngster. And he decisively beats him because he is the better man. So it wasn't a squash. It was, I wouldn't even call it a glorified squash. It was like a match that began competitive, but then one man was clearly the better man because he's at a higher position on the card and he's going into a big feud. So they did it right. And you know the other thing? Give everybody a wrestling lesson here. Mr. Wrestling 2 in this match was 50, okay? Which is funny because he was the exact same age basically as I am right now, but he looked like a good 20 years older.
Yeah.
And granted, he's got a mask and everything, but like he's got an old dude's body.
You have a better physique than he does.
And, but if you watch this match, and Lanny was young, I don't know how old he was, you can look it up, but Lanny was much younger and he's very athletic. And if you watch this match, they worked at a fast fucking clip. And if you watch Mr. Wrestling 2, he does not get tired. And let me tell you what Mr. Wrestling 2 wasn't doing. He wasn't doing circuit training, and he wasn't doing, you know what I'm saying? He, for all I know, he's out drinking every night. But the reason that him and Poffo were able to work at such a fast clip is because that's how people worked back then. They worked very, very light. And I was just thinking about it because, like, I don't know when it started again, but, you know, when you and I wrestled Vinny, and we wrestled Buddy and Richie and Tim, it was like, if you didn't work light, I mean, they were going to just take it to you.
I can't confirm this.
Yes.
I had to take it
like,
to me.
Like, if they went to do a suplex and, like, you didn't go upright, yeah, and they actually had to lift you, like, they were fucking furious.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, in wrestling, when you're working, anytime you have to actually lift somebody, anytime you have to move somebody because they're in the wrong position, that's what blows you up. If you guys are working together through the entire match, Like, you can do a pretty fucking fast-paced match and not get tired. So it was just very interesting to watch this 50-year-old guy who was not in the best shape working at a faster clip than, like, a lot of guys you see nowadays. Because nowadays, I don't know what happened, but, like, between when I, like, retired for the first time in, like, 2010, and then I came back from, like, 2016 to 2020, man, something changed. Like, guys were not working light from 2016 on. They'd grab you hard, and they'd punch you in the face, and they'd hold on. Except when I worked the rock and rolls. They were light. But that's just, now people have to, they train harder and harder and harder and harder, because the way you work wears you out more. So anyway, I wish everybody would go back to being light. But I was just watching this match going, God damn, these guys fucking worked a great, fast-paced match with an old guy and a young guy, and neither of them got tired. It was very impressive.
I thought for sure that Mr. Wrestling 2 would continue to use the knee gimmick that he won the title with when he beat JYD.
A foreign object?
Yes.
The loaded knee?
The loaded knee pad or whatever it was that was blurry and we couldn't actually see it. I thought for sure that was going to be his new heel shtick.
Save it for the big shows, I guess.
I guess.
So last week, Boyd explains, there was a match between Terry Taylor and Nikolai Volkov. And he says this is only Boyd Pierce can see it. But then a man returned with a bang, with something
was
to
it
settle.
Ricky Starks?
No, it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They replayed the whole thing from last week. A good chunk of the match with Terry Taylor and Nikolai Volkov. And Nikolai flying out of the ring and Khrushchev running down. And they attack him. And Hacksaw comes out with the board, beats him with the board, cuts his promo. The whole thing. 5+ minutes they showed on a 1-hour show. So they go back to Boyd and Cornette. And Cornette says, you know, Hacksaw was using a board. And you got liked that. So, Boyd Pierce, you got no place criticizing me or my men for what we got to do to get even. He's kind of got a point there. Nikolai Volkov and Crusher Khrushchev versus Randy Barber and John King. Volkov very quickly wins with a press slam backbreaker.
Like I say, at a point there. What a heel.
Well, he's right. You can't, if you're going to get mad at Jim Cornette for using a weapon, you should also get mad at Hacksaw Duggan for using
a weapon. There's a big difference in that Hacksaw showed up with that 2x4 in a defensive manner, whereas Cornette's crew uses that thing in an offensive manner.
I guess that's true.
They attack people
They were instigating.
Yes, one is an attack and one is a defense.
That's fair.
Yes.
So Nikolai Volkov and Crusher Khrushchev versus Randy Barber and John King. Volkov very quickly wins the press slam backbreaker. A great cover. He hooked the leg so hard he almost pulled the guy over onto himself. Randy Barber in gold gear, like he took gold dust old bodysuit and just cut it up into boots and trunks.
Oh, that's a bad look. Wow.
Although I also, speaking of gold dust and back to belt straps, when he had the IC belt and made the strap gold to match everything else, mm-hmm. That worked.
Also noted that Randy Barber pretty soon is not going to need one.
Wow.
Well, things happen.
Yeah.
So this is the point in the show where Boyd Pierce blows his stack.
He's had enough of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He warns Cornette, listen, we're going to break. If you are still here when we come back, I'm personally going to have Hacksaw Duggan escort you out of the building.
Well, he kind of screwed it up because first he goes...
They screw things up a lot in the show.
He goes, it's you or me. And yep. Cornette's like, bye. I'm like, well, that didn't work out there, Boyd. So then Boyd says, it's you or me. But if you're still here, I'm getting Hacksaw over here. And then Cornette backtracks. And he says, you know, nobody tells me what to do or where to go. But I just happen to have a very important call coming up here pretty soon. So I'm going to be out of here. And he leaves. And Cornette was actually awesome because if you ever listen to Jim Cornette, he never screws up his lines or fumbles over anything. But he's gotten to by this Hacksaw Jim Duggan threat. And so he is, in fact, stumbling and bumbling over his words. And he gets the hell out of there. And Boyd Pierce got the last laugh.
I disagree, because by leaving, Jim Cornette did not have to watch Masao Ito and Hacksaw Duggan.
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
On this show.
On this show?
Not this particular show, but like Mid-South.
I don't know if I have.
No, there was that one match. What the hell was it? Or was that on a different show we were watching?
I think the primetime match was Sika.
That's right.
That was worse than this.
Yeah, that was recent enough. That was the worst match of the 80s.
That was, but mostly because it was so boring.
Yeah.
This was just everything they did looked horrible. Everything. Well, including a chin lock. Hacksaw cannot do a chin lock correctly.
Well, actually he could, Vinny, because he was working light. He did the lightest chin lock I've ever seen, to the point where he was nowhere near the man's head. He was chin locking 5 feet away.
There's a happy medium.
Saito.
Between this chin lock and a shoot choke.
Yeah. You literally could not have done a lighter, shittier chin lock than what Hacksaw.
You could do this
doing.
To Paisley and she'd be fine.
Oh, no. I'd grab her much harder and I still wouldn't touch her.
He's also calling out Darso over and over again because he forgot he changed his name for weeks ago now. He misses a horrible clothesline.
Nobody remembers this cruise ship thing. Yeah. Nobody.
Even the guy that
even
came up
fucking
with the idea.
Bill Watts keeps calling the guy Darso. And then Cornette's like, somebody's got to teach these guys how to say Khrushchev. Like, somebody's, you got to know the name before you can learn how to say it right.
Yeah. So Duggan hits, they called it a spear. Mm. It's closer to a Thez press.
It was definitely not a spear.
He jumped up and hit Ito in the face with his sternum. The Russians attack for the DQ. They have a board and a rope and the coal miner's glove. And somebody ends up holding the board, and the glove punches the board to break it and show how dangerous this coal miner's glove is. And they grab Hacksaw, and they're going to punch him with this glove and break his head just like they broke that board. But the Rock and Roll Express and Magnum TA and Terry Taylor all make the save.
I do love that on this show, like, if something's going wrong to a babyface, every freaking babyface on the show comes out to make the save. You know, when you watch the shows nowadays, like, you know, Raw, Dynamite, etc., it's like, you know, half the time nobody comes out to save somebody.
Yes.
So they just
for minutes on end.
Yeah, what a loser that guy turned out to be. He's got no friends. But then every now and then, like, a guy will run out. You know what I'm saying? Like, one dude cares enough to run out. On these shows, it's a much, much smaller roster. And so literally every name babyface, every single name babyface on the show hit the ring to save Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And the heels go running. And, you know, it's like, man, that guy's got friends. He must be a good man.
Your TV tournament semifinals, where the winner faces Crusher Khrushchev in the finals. Hacksaw Butch Reed versus Terry Taylor. Here is where they tell us Bill Watts has been taken from the building, totally unconscious.
Golly, that was 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
So these guys tried hard. Their chemistry was poor.
Mm-hmm.
They were on different pages a lot, like things like each guy would throw a punch at the same time and whatnot. But they barreled on through, had the best match they could. And Taylor's making a comeback when Butch kicks him and hits a diving elbow. And then boys start screaming, we only got 3 minutes of television time left. I don't know what we're going to do. We've got to have a pinfall. They've been notified, but there wasn't a time left when they started. Like, well, why was this the last match in the show then? Every other TV tournament match they've done wasn't the last match. Sometimes it's first. Sometimes it's in the middle. But then we were told, like, we got 6 standby matches. They do 6 matches. So with time running out, Butch Reed goes to a guillotine. That's what we call it these days. A front face lock.
Vinny, you say time's running out, but let's be honest. There was like 3 full minutes left. And this fucking guy put on a 2.5-minute headlock.
That happened.
Like, oh my God. Boyd's screaming that we're running out of time. And I'm sitting here thinking, I've watched this show for months now. How many fucking matches do we see in the tournament that they put on early?
Yeah.
And then they had a whole bunch of fucking standby matches afterwards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally they put a match on with 7 minutes left, and then they're screaming that we're almost out of TV time. I was like, golly, clearly Bill Watts is gone. He wouldn't have done this shit.
So Taylor's making one last comeback. He hits an atomic drop, stops to scratch his face because he's a very painful itch apparently. It's a big-ass dropkick, and then time expires, and the show ends.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, and I'm actually just thinking about this now, they will do a rematch here next week, and then Taylor on the very same show will have to wrestle Crusher Khrushchev. And he'll win the opener, go face Khrushchev later, and lose that match because he's tired.
I do like that they said, you know, we're going to have to get a ruling from Bill Watts. I'm like, dude's dead. He was murdered. They carted his unconscious body out. He'd been unconscious for 45 fucking minutes, dude. I don't mean to laugh, but like, that's fairly serious when you're unconscious for 45 minutes and they're carting you out of the building. So you're telling me that you're going to go to the hospital and wait by his bedside. And when he finally comes to, you're going to hit him with, fucking match went long. We put it on 7 minutes before the show ended. We didn't have a winner. And you know that big ass bracket that you drew with the Sharpie and it went up here and it looked like a maze on a kid's fucking menu? How are we going to handle this? That's what you're going to hit Bill Watts with when he wakes up from his coma? Jiminy Christmas.
They also kept wrestling and ignoring the bell and everything else. And the screen went blank because they were still in the middle of the match. Even though the match was technically over.
Well, the bell was ringing frantically and the ref was trying to get them to stop fighting. They were just caught up in the moment.
They were caught up in the moment.
This is not as exciting as last week's show.
No, this was not as good as last week's show, but it was a big angle. Huge angle. When they murdered Bill Watts. So you'll have to tune in next week to find out what's next. Because in theory, like, the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette should be fucked.
Sure.
Basically. I mean, that's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that'll be on next week's show. Well, this weekend we got a lot. We got the NXT Vengeance Day show, and we got the AEW Australia Collision show. So we're going to review both of those on Sunday, and Vinny and I are going to be back on Thursday for Dynamite and NXT. That's the plan for the Brian and Vinny show. And throw that graphic up there. Jared, if you want to join us and you're watching free, a lot of options. WrestlingObserver.com gets you all of the podcasts, 15,000 archived shows, as well as The Observer, back issues of The Observer, The Board, exclusive news articles. If you want the full breakdown of the Netflix numbers from Dave, well, you can certainly get those at WrestlingObserver.com, $14.99 a month. And if you only want pay-per-views, we got Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, all of them $9.99. Apple Podcasts and Spotify, F4WOnline.com/Apple, F4WOnline.com/Spotify. You'll get all of the pay-per-views and archives from about a year ago is when we started. And you can also watch the shows as you are right now at F4WOnline.com/YouTube. That's also $9.99 to get all of the shows in beautiful HD, 84 shows a month. It's quite the deal, so check it out. And that's it, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks, all of you that joined us here today. We'll do this again at some point. We do watch-alongs as well on YouTube sometimes, so make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can see what fun stuff we're doing. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Adios.